Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur from Gurgaon, India, Mr. Rahul Subramaniam. Rahul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ashutosh.
Thank you. Rahul is the managing director of Athena Education. And we're going to talk about Athena and a lot of things that he's doing for a lot of young people. So Rahul, let me start with my first question on Athena, or even before I ask you about the venture, what does Athena mean?
So when my co-founder and I were in college, we loved studying history, especially Greek and Roman history. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of very interesting parallels between Greek philosophy and Indian philosophy. Mm-hmm. So Athena is the Greek equivalent of Saraswati, the goddess of wisdom and education. Curiously, she's also the goddess of warfare. So she's the goddess of wisdom and warfare, which we thought is a very powerful image.
Correct.
In that to go through life, mm-hmm. and education is not just about gyan that stays in the mind. It has to translate into action, mm-hmm. right? Which is an idea that's also echoed in the Bhagavad Gita. So it's very interesting to look at these ideas across civilizations. So mm-hmm. for an education company, we could think of no better image. Mm.
Fascinating. And you founded Athena to enable the Ivy dream of Indian youngsters. Help me understand, what was the motivation to start Athena and what has been your journey since you started?
Absolutely. So I grew up in the US, and mm-hmm. Shortly after graduating from Princeton, my co-founder and I, we were like, we need to figure out what to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. And we blew all our savings traveling around the world, and we mm-hmm. came to India. And this was around 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. It was so exciting. See, my parents had left, and I'll get to your question. I'm just mm-hmm. giving you some background.
Sure, absolutely.
My mm-hmm. parents had left India with me as a baby when I was just a year old in 1990. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So their conception of India was very different from what I saw in 2012 and 2013. There was so much entrepreneurial energy here, mm-hmm. right? In terms of business, in terms of politics, in terms of society. A lot of the issues that India has been struggling with for decades mm-hmm. since independence were coming to the fore. And of course, there is a lot of work left to be done. But for the first time, there was so much awareness. So I remember going back to my parents and saying, you know what? I'm moving to India. Dropping everything. And they were like, what is wrong with you? Mm. You dropped everything in India to come to the US to give you a better life, and we don't get it. And mm-hmm. we were very opposed to this for a couple of years, but once things got going, mm-hmm. they couldn't be happier. So that's the idea. We wanted to do something deep, meaningful, impactful in India. And in fact, we were kind of just doing this on the side while we were figuring out other ventures. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of colleagues whose kids wanted to study at elite universities. They mm-hmm. came to us and they said, we love the way you feel that the world is your oyster, and mm-hmm. You're willing to take risks, and we want our kids to have a similar mindset. So we started coaching a bunch of teenagers, and then mm-hmm. one of our mentors sat us down and said, hey, you really have passion for this. I mean, you've got you're hitting all the ikigai points, right? Mm-hmm. There's some talent here. There's some passion. you can make money doing this, and it's something the world needs. I mean, how often do you stumble upon an intersection of all four? So we said, okay, let's build an organization around this. And I think the big difference between Athena and perhaps other college counselors is, you know, what we found was very sort of, it was just a checklist. Okay, you got to fill out these forms, you got to take these tests and so on. That's the easy part. What we do is life coaching for teenagers. And I know life coaching has so many different connotations.
Correct.
But it's absolutely essential in this day and age. So it's not just about getting kids into a Harvard or a Stanford or an Oxford or a Cambridge. It's about helping them become the scholars and leaders of tomorrow. How do we help them identify what their talents are, what their passions are, what their aspirations are, their beliefs, their values, their ideals? You know, we talk to kids about, who are you? What do you want? What were you put on this planet to do? Right? What is your brand? What is your dharma? We use so many different images. Kind of going back to Athena, we like to take images from Western civilization as well as Indian civilization. Yeah. You know, we're very culturally rooted, but also modern. This is the mentality we want to inculcate in kids, that, you know, you have so many resources at your disposal.
Correct.
And instead of, you know, floundering, you got to think very deeply about, you know, what is it that you want to achieve? Who are you? What do you want? And in that process, they do very well in the college admissions, in the college admissions process, because a Harvard or a Stanford wants young people who are not only good academically, but who are deep thinkers and have a vision for the world, who want to change something in society and are starting to do that themselves. So we design projects for young people to cultivate their leadership, their social service. We find them internships. We help them get into summer programs. They launch school clubs. They launch initiatives. They write books. And that's how the transformation occurs. So it's this year, especially, we've been very direct about this. We are college counseling plus life coaching. And I think this is a model that doesn't really exist. And we're trying to create this, and we're very thrilled by the response we've been receiving.
Amazing, amazing. So, you know, Rahul, when you say that you want to enable the Ivy dream,
yeah,
you know, the Ivy League colleges have a restricted number of seats.
Yes.
Aspirationally, how do you handle the very, very large number of Indian youngsters who don't make it to an Ivy League?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, getting into the Ivies is like getting a medal in the
Olympics.
You're getting a gold medal, right? So everyone is aspiring for those. And that's what we prepare them for. And but see, they're not the only phenomenal universities in the world. So our students apply to an assortment. For some, you know, the Ivies may not make a lot of sense because they want a large public research intensive university, or they want to go for sports or art, or they want a very technical university with phenomenal placements into Silicon Valley. So most of our universities, I mean, most of our scholars are gunning for the Ivies, but there's a whole assortment of excellent institutions. Everything we do is personalized. So we, you know, ask them dozens of questions about what are you looking for? What's important to you in terms of the university's brand, its academics, its location, its student-teacher ratio, right? Is it in a big city or a small town, US, UK, Canada? we take all this into account. It's not just a cookie cutter process of, okay, there are 10 schools here, you apply here, you apply there. We want to really understand what a kid is looking for. You know, a kid might come to us and say, look, I really want to settle in the West, right? In which case, maybe we put more emphasis on Canada because the path to permanent residency is a lot smoother. Or we say, hey, instead of applying for economics, can you apply for applied mathematics? So you get, so you fall into the STEM category in the US. So your OTP visa lasts for 3 years and you can work for 3 years as opposed to 1 year if you fall into the STEM category. So that's the level of granularity we get into, but it's also, it's, so we've got the technical counseling and we do a lot of research and we have extensive spreadsheets that with all sorts of filters.
Very interesting. But you know, Rahul, a question that is often asked, I mean, my children left home 18 years ago after school to study overseas. But, you know, a question that is often asked by a lot of people is whether going overseas a choice, or is it because Indian undergrad education has become so competitive that if you don't have a 99.9%, you can't get a good college?
Absolutely. There that is a factor as well. There is a supply-demand gap. Right? The demand for a quality education is rising much faster than supply. There have been some efforts, there are more IITs, there's Ashoka, but
there aren't enough.
It isn't comparable. So, of course, in the long term, we would like to be part of that story.
Correct.
Of strengthening Indian tertiary educational institutes. But in the meantime, you know, we, and this is very interesting. A generation ago, again, I look at my parents. My dad did his master's in the US and it was like, okay, I'm going to do my master's here and then settle in the US. But what we're finding with our scholars is that they want to study abroad, maybe work for a couple of years,
and then come back,
to India, join entrepreneurial ventures, work on pressing social issues. So we hope that, and you know, I love to point out that that's kind of what the founding fathers of this country did, right? Whether you're talking about Gandhi or Nehru or Ambedkar, they saw what the world had to offer and they brought the best back to India and made it Indian, you know, tailored it to our situation. Well, so long term, we need to do that. In the short term, we're very excited about young people going out into the world, expanding their minds, expanding their hearts, and bringing that to India. And we're seeing that. I think when I came to India, every other person would ask me, what are you doing? You grew up in Silicon Valley. It's the Shangri-La for the Indian diaspora. But I think now, now it's far more common and we hope to see this trend continue.
Wonderful. So let me now move on. You also have a personal mentorship program. And you spoke to me a little bit about life coaching, but I'd love to listen to you a little more about what is your personal mentorship program and how does it assist students?
Absolutely. So step number one is understanding our scholars really thoroughly. And we do that with a combination of quantitative and qualitative metrics and data points. Of course, we have psychometric tests, but you know, psychometric tests can't be used as a panacea. I think there are some educators who use psychometric tests irresponsibly, because what it might do to a 15-year-old is, oh my God, I'm not good at interpersonal relations. I can never be a good manager. And that mental block stays with them for a decade and can really compromise their education and their educational and professional goals, right? So we have to be very careful and say, okay, this psychometric test is like a blood test. Telling you right now, okay, your high density liposuction, high density lipoproteins, are low, but this is the remedy, right? We never take a blood test personally. It's like, okay, this is telling me how I can improve. So that's how we use psychometrics, right? Okay, this may not be a natural ability for you. But we've got a process for how you can strengthen your interpersonal intelligence, right? Or your spatial reasoning. So psychometrics, but beyond that, it's got to be qualitative and personalized. We have written assignments for kids. We ask them things like, we talk to them in a way that they really resonate. So we say things like, what really pisses you off about society? Right? A lot of, a lot of our young girls talk about gender disparities. They talk about education, health, poverty, climate change, environmental issues. So we want to get a sense of what really makes them tick. Right. So, for example, one young man said, like, I love football. I just love it. But recently I have not been able to play football because I have asthma that is exacerbated by the Indian air, by the New Delhi air. And I really want to do something about air pollution. What can I do? Right. Got it. This is what really drives you. Let's build a profile around that. So we gave him a research paper. I still remember he did this amazing research in which he compared the properties of different household plants in terms of removing, PM 2.5 and various particles from air. So he used some meters to measure that. He created this very nice controlled experiment. And he also compared the capacity of these plants vis-a-vis, your industrial air purifiers, and found that they're, if you use the right combination, they're comparable. And that was amazing because now he discovered a solution that is far more affordable to the Indian public than, a Dyson air purifier. So he conducted this research. He also kind of performed this chemical analysis of mosquito repellents. And because he wanted to study chemistry, he found a more environmentally friendly version. He actually kind of concocted his own. He identified the chemicals in industrial mosquito repellents and the active ingredients, tested them out, tested their, whether you could put them in a spray bottle, how effective they were, all sorts of things. This young man put all of this down in his essays, talked about his journey that, because of asthma and New Delhi, I can't play football. This was my driving motivation to study green chemistry and apply it to environmental science. Amazing. This is everything I did. This is what I learned. And this is why I want to apply to Cambridge. And he's studying there now.
Amazing. Amazing. What an amazing story and what an amazing example. I'm sure a lot of our young people who will listen to your story about this young individual and get motivated. But Rahul, now coming to the other aspect of education, and that is the stress. I see a lot of young students or children going through a lot of stress because of what will they do after. But more than their stress, I see their parents stressed out. What is the role that you play or can play in managing this incredible stress the entire family goes through till they get what they call a good college?
Absolutely. And we interact a lot with parents, of course, and there's a lot riding on this. Parents have made so many sacrifices for their kids. And they want to see them well settled, and beyond being well settled, you know, they want to ensure that their kids have the life, a life in which they can make their own choices. So we really understand the emotions behind decisions surrounding education. What we tell parents is the child has to be the CEO, right? And we're all on the board.
Support functions, yeah.
Right? And I think that kind of relationship, when the child, our scholar, feels that they're driving this, and we are all well-wishers, and we are providing, you know, kind of actually, or another analogy might be an entrepreneur and a VC. I mean, that's better, because of course, you know, of course there's funding when it comes to parents. But beyond that, there is advice, doors are open, we're a sounding board, we help structure their thoughts, we help organize their lives. So we understand the stress, right? And we see as our mandate, and I think this is what differentiates Athena as well, we expand that mandate. Our mandate is not just, hey, if you want to get into UC Berkeley, A, B, C, D, and E, go do that. We want to remove these stressors. So if there's some philosophical disparity between a child and their parents, we'll bring everybody together. We'll have a seat in our conference room, and we'll have a chai pit charcha, right? Like, okay, look, I'll give you an example. Something that comes up a lot is parents want a child to apply for computer science. A child wants to apply for the humanities. And we see both perspectives, right? We understand, and we strive to navigate that. So what we might say is, look, kid, mom and dad have a point regarding computer science, especially if you're applying to the US. Again, it goes back to, are you a STEM student or not, right? Might be helpful. And especially given that you've been doing well in computer science, you've been building your profile in computer science, why change to history in the last moment? What you can do is you can major in computer science and minor in history. Perfectly fine. Or even better, you can study computer science, but apply it to history. Right? Imagine if you could create an app, a platform for virtual tours of all monuments across India, right? And the computer vision is so well developed. You can create a V1 with static images, and then as your knowledge of computer science deepens, you can make it more elaborate. You can put it in different languages, and build. So you are building core computer science skills that can serve you in the job market down the road, but you're remaining very connected to the subject matter that's close to your heart. And we come up with solutions, and then like kids like, okay, I can do that. Parents are like, okay, we can do this. And
wonderful.
Happy.
Wonderful.
So in terms of stress, there are multiple causes of stress, right? Pardon me, I have a bit of a I hope my sniffling isn't
no problem.
Affecting your audio.
No.
There are multiple levels of stress. Number one is just clarity. I think having this, should I do this or that? What is my purpose in life? So we try to attack it on that ground. But then there's also just, kids feeling overwhelmed. So we bring on board a trained child psychologist who speak with them. So this is what we aim to be, like a full service coaching center. Whatever a child needs, we can provide both at the strategic level, the strategic level, the technical level, and the emotional level.
Interesting. And one last question for you, because you've looked at strategic, you've looked at emotional, you looked at parents' needs. Now comes the last bit, which is the funding. Do you also support a child get funding from institutions?
So this is definitely something we take into account. So we ask parents, you know, like, look, what's the situation? Is financial aid a must have or a good to have, right? And if it is a must have for some families, we have an entire database of all the financial aid policies of different universities and which ones provide scholarships to international students. So we add the, going back to how we construct college lists, we focus on those. We may focus more on Canada. We might have some additional universities in Singapore and Hong Kong that more heavily subsidize education. Singapore has this special policy that if you commit to staying and working in Singapore for a number of years, they slash your tuition considerably. So we're aware of all of this. And
that's where you belong. Wonderful. Rahul, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. It's been such an amazing journey for me learning about Athena, where the name Athena came from, learning about Athena education and all the amazing work you are doing in supporting so many young children, if I can use the word children, or so many young adults in enabling their Ivy dream. Thank you for going through so much detail and giving me such amazing examples of how you have actually cleared the path for so many young people in thinking through some of the challenges. And when I was young, I know I was always confused on what I wanted to do. And I'm sure a lot of young people may be like me. But thank you for talking to me. And thank you for all the amazing thing that you're doing for young people.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.